a bit to accommodate members' schedules and Representative Brown's doctor's appointments.
How's she a doctor?
We have budget bills reported out of subcommittee. House Bill 5052, Representative Hayden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's my pleasure to present House Bill 5052, Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board Capital Projects. House Bill 5052 provides the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board with the six-year limitation for capital expenditure projects funded by Measure 66 lottery funds. In 1999, the legislature adopted statutes defining the uses of the constitutionally mandated Measure 66 lottery fund for capital expenditure projects. At least 65% of the biennial revenue for Measure 66 must be used for these types of projects. Many of the projects awarded funding by OWEB are multi-year efforts, and OWEB only makes a final grant payment upon completion of the project. OWEB also receives quarterly allotments of Measure 66 lottery funds during a biennium. Proposals for projects are solicited by OWEB at various points during the biennium, and some are not approved for funding until late in the biennium. The result is the need for increasing amounts of carry-forward expenditure limitation. House Bill 5052 addresses the carry-forward issue by treating the capital expenditure portion of the OWEB budget like capital construction projects, which have a six-year limitation. The agency will continue to report on a regular basis to the legislature on the status of the capital expenditure grant program. House Bill 5052 provides OWEB with $26.2 million in lottery funds limitation for Measure 66 funds allocated in 2001-3. The limitation for these funds will expire on June 30, 2007. The bill also provides OWEB with $15.8 million in lottery funds limitation for carry-forward Measure 66 funds allocated in 1999-01. The limitation for these funds will expire on June 30, 2005. The Natural Resources Subcommittee, Susan Morgan, Chair, recommends approval of House Bill 5052.
Representative Hayden, August Member.
Susan Morgan, Chair.
Any discussion? Any questions on House Bill 5052? Any objections to moving it to the floor with a due pass recommendation?
You don't have an objection. I just have a question. What happened to Chip?
Say it again.
What happened to what?
Chip.
Oh.
Mr. Chair, Senator Dukes, I think CHIP is still included as a budget note.
Okay. Just needed to know that for sure.
But not in this bill. It's in the other,
oh,
in 5043.
Okay. Never mind.
Well, thank you for your accommodation and understanding now, and I will thank you again when... any objections? Seeing none, House Bill 5054. Two is to the House floor with a two-pass recommendation. We'll skip back up to House Bill 5043. Representative Morgan.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. House Bill 5043 is the budget bill for the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board. OWEB was established by the legislature as the agency designated to administer the lottery funds constitutionally dedicated to fund salmon and watershed restoration as described by Ballot Measure 66 from 1998. House Bill 5043 also allocates lottery funds to other agencies involved with Oregon plan activities eligible to be funded with Ballot Measure 66 revenues. House Bill 5043 directs the allocation of the projected $49.6 million available under Measure 66 during the 2001-03 biennium. 65% of the available funds, or $32.2 million, are required to be used for capital expenses. The remaining 35%, or $17.4 million, are available for operational expenses. The recommended budget supports OWEB operational expenses with a total of $6.6 million of lottery funds. The budget includes the addition of 10 positions included in the governor's recommended budget for the institutionalization of the Oregon plan and to enhance the agency's fiscal and grant management staffing. Lottery funds are also provided for support of local watershed councils and the independent multidisciplinary science team. The recommended budget also includes $3.2 million other funds limitation and $17.2 million federal funds limitation. The federal funds are derived from the Pacific Coastal Salmon Recovery Program of the National Marine Fisheries Service and include $9 million of new revenues for the 0103 and $8.2 million in carry forward from 9901. The budget disappropriates $1.5 million of general fund provided to OWEB in 1999. The general fund has been committed to projects but will revert at the end of the biennium. The budget reappropriates $375,000 general fund to the agency and provides the remaining $1.1 million as a special purpose appropriation to the emergency board. The agency will receive allocation of the funds after reporting of actual amounts committed. House Bill 5043 also provides allocations of lottery funds to the Department of Agriculture for soil and water conservation district support and for weed control, and to the Department of Fish and Wildlife for Oregon plan activities, and to the Oregon State Police for fish and wildlife enforcement. The budget restores 7 officer positions eliminated in the governor's budget due to revenue shortages. Measure 66 funding for capital expenditure projects was removed from House Bill 5043 and included in House Bill 5052 in order to provide the agency with a 6-year expenditure limitation for these projects. The Natural Resources Subcommittee recommends approval of House Bill 5043.
Thank you, Representative. Any questions? Any discussion? Any objection to moving House Bill 5043 as amended to the floor of the House with a due pass recommendation? Seeing none, so ordered. Senate Bill 5511, Representative Shatter.
Thank you, Representative Weston. Senate Bill 5511 is the budget bill for the Department of Education Central Operations, Special Schools for the Deaf and Blind, Youth Corrections Education Program, and Debt Service on Education Lottery Bonds. The budget approved by the Education Subcommittee is $192,587,045 total funds and 463.9 FTE. The budget is a 6.6% decrease from the governor's recommended, but an 8% increase over the 9901 estimated expenditures. The budget was reduced by the standard adjustments for PERS rates, attorney general hours fees, hourly rates, interagency charges, out-of-state travel, and the co-chair's 1% reduction. The special schools essentially are funded at the governor's recommended level, including $523,943 general fund for teacher salary increases. The subcommittee eliminated the $5 million other funds policy option package for student growth and youth corrections education program pending caseload updates to the emergency board. Subcommittee removed $4.9 million general fund for the following policy option packages and operations: dropout prevention and recovery, low performing schools, and teacher administrator mentor program. As it did with related grant and aid policy option packages, subcommittee expresses support for these initiatives and expressed its desire and mandated the department to seek federal funds for these programs. The subcommittee adopted recommendations from the Advancing E-Government Subcommittee. It approved a $2.5 million reduction in the department's technology budget for professional services and an appropriation of this exact same amount to the emergency board with reporting instructions to the agency. The subcommittee recommends approval of the bill as amended.
Thank you, Representative. Any questions? Any discussions? Anybody in the session, you might get that read thing down. Any objections to moving Senate Bill 5511 to the floor of the Senate with a due pass recommendation? Seeing none, so ordered. Other bills reported out of subcommittee. SJR 35A. Senator well-timed Clarno.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate no comments about the huffing and puffing. This measure creates a leadership commission on health care costs. The commission is composed of the Senate President, Senate Majority and Minority Leaders, and the Speaker of the House, and the House Majority and Minority Leaders, or their designees. The legislative administrator will provide staff for the commission. The commission is charged with developing and distributing a State of Oregon Health Care Cost Index. The commission will establish categories of health care services and identify factors contributing to the costs of health care by category for use in the index. The index is a tool that would allow legislators and other policymakers to compare health care service alternatives. The commission is directed to recommend to the next legislative assembly how the health care cost index should be updated and distributed on an annual basis. Your subcommittee on capital construction, lottery, and bonding recommends moving SJR 35A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you, Senator. Any questions? I have one. I understand you were in a race with one of the House members from your August Senate district. I was wondering if you could tell us the results of that race this afternoon.
In my estimation, I beat you.
Any objections to moving SJR 35A to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation? Let the chair be recorded as a no. One no. Representative Hill is a no. Representative Westland is a yes. Seeing only one objection, SJR 35A is moved to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Order. Senate Bill 483.
Senator Perioli. Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. The Senate Bill 483 extends tax refunds for fuel used to propel a motor vehicle by state agencies and special districts. Used fuel is diesel, natural gas, and propane. Currently, the law exempts cities, federal agencies, the state forestry, county vehicles when they are used for road construction, public school vehicles used for pupil transportation, public transit vehicles, and rural fire protection districts from paying the tax on used fuels. This bill extends the exemptions to all state agencies, currently 560 special districts not currently qualified under the law, and the general county government, not just vehicles operated by the county road departments. The revenue impact is $1.345 million, or 0.16% of all motor vehicle fuel taxes paid. Revenue lost to the state transportation programs is approximately $40,000. Lost to the cities is $210,000, or 0.11% of the total revenue distribution to cities. And lost to counties is $328,000, or 0.10% of the total revenue distribution to counties. This bill exempts the government entities not previously covered and treats all governmental entities the same. The Senate General Government of Transportation and Senate Revenue Committees recommends approval of Senate Bill 483, and the Transportation Economic Development Subcommittee also recommends approval of Senate Bill 483A.
Any questions? Any discussion? Clarification, Senator. When you are talking about the percentages of lost revenue, you are going 0.11 or 0.10. That's 10 and 11% respectively.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, you have looked at the decimals correctly. But in point of fact, the revenue losses in this instance are $40,000 to the state transportation programs, and the cities will, which participate in revenue from fuel use tax.
Right.
So if we exempt the vehicles that are paying some use taxes, obviously there'll be a corresponding decline. However, the fact is that treating all state agencies and county agencies and governmental entities the same, I believe, is a matter of fairness. And in point of fact, what we're really doing is lowering the cost to these entities for operating their own fleet vehicles. So we often hear that we're only interested in revenue to the state general fund and to the assessment entities. In point of fact, what we're going to be doing here is lowering the costs for local governments and special districts.
Excellent.
Thank you, sir.
Senator Troll.
Sure. One of the philosophies we operate on is that vehicles do damage to the highways and roads, and that we charge these fuel taxes because that's the case, to help pay for the upkeep and so forth. We're exempting government entities from doing that. Is that what this does, Mr. Chair?
Mr. Chairman, currently we treat some entities more generously than others. There are approximately 800 special districts organized under ORS 198, 228 fire districts, 8 transportation districts, 3 mass transit districts. They already qualify for a refund of the fuel tax by executive orders, federal fiat, our largesse. This bill adds the remaining 560 districts. And so the point is that all of our special use districts, counties, and governmental entities will be treated the same. Yes, in answer to your question, we've held the philosophy that vehicles that do damage should pay a portion of the cost for maintenance and repair of those roads through the use taxes. But the imprecise and unfair allocation of those taxes creates a situation that this bill remedies. The other thing is when you tax fuel use or use fuel that's used by a governmental agency and then rebate portions of that back to the entity, one could argue that you're doing an awful lot of accounting to move money from one pocket to the other. I guess the point is that this bill treats all entities the same. The revenue loss in comparison to the total is relatively small, but it is a huge issue for the small special taxing districts not to have to pay those use taxes.
Yeah. I can see the value of it to the districts, Mr. Chair, but did this go through a substantive committee?
Mr. Chairman, to answer the question, it went from the Senate Revenue Committee and the Senate General Government and Transportation Committees to the full Ways and Means.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
I'm fine. Thank you. Any other questions? any objections? Let the record show both co-chairs are voting no.
Mr. Chair, I'll be a no.
The record show Senator Trow is voting no. Seeing no other objections, Senate Bill 4.
I'm not saying no.
Yeah.
Can you vote no one?
Let's pile on here.
Well, Mr. Chair, I'm sitting here fussing with this. We have special districts that live next door to private districts that do the same thing. And we're exempting the special districts, and there's no way to exempt the private districts. And I decided I was going to be a nice guy and just go ahead and not object, but it does frustrate me. We're taking care of one inequity, but we're creating another one.
Senator Ferriel. That's your co-chairs of the immortal words of the former President Jimmy Carter. Sometimes loss is not fire. And the point of fact is that these special districts fight daily for survival. We, in our wisdom, have put many of them in a situation where their ability to survive is compressed by an initiative that has them all stuck in a taxation system where they cannot get more revenue. The fact is that they have costs that are expanding and growing. They have no real way to mitigate those costs or go for additional revenue because many of them are under threat. They strive to provide their services. This is a kind of a bill that extends a little help in helping them control their costs. Many of these special districts illogically pay taxes for road maintenance on the way to do road maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the point is that this at least deals with the inequity of having two public districts that be side by side, one that gets an exemption and one that does not. At least it deals with that inequity. There are many inequities in our taxation system. This has been one of them. And I hope that we can cure this inequity and move this bill forward because the small special districts really are relying on us to provide them with some equity and ability to continue delivering the services that they do deliver. So I would urge an aye vote on this bill.
Any other objections? Representative Hill, you better call the roll.
Senator Keith.
No.
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 Miller.
Aye.
Ferriel.
Aye.
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 Brown.
Aye.
Senator Hannon.
No.
Representative Schrader.
Yes.
Ashley. Aye. Winters.
Aye.
Hill.
No.
Morgan.
Aye.
Hayden.
Aye.
You know, Senator Ferriel is a very convincing guy. He's convinced me.
That'll cost you, man.
I like the record to reflect mine was a courtesy vote.
So is mine.
A lot of courtesy.
16.
Before we have any other discussion, Senate Bill 483, as amended, is moved to the Senate floor with a do-pass recommendation.
Okay. me this way, please read it.
Senate Bill 502, Senator Randy Flash Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Senate Bill 502 would allow the state to post signs on freeways that reflect the reasonable and safe behavior and current practice of our motorists. The Dash 4 amendments to this bill, which were unanimously approved by the Capital Construction Lottery and Bonding Subcommittee, reduced the maximum speed that could be posted to 70 miles per hour from 75 miles per hour. It also maintained that basic rule would be the method of enforcement on all roads other than the interstate freeways, which will now be totally able to be monitored by maximum speed rule. And that includes a section that I learned about during testimony, that when you enter like Salem around the Volcano Stadium where it says 55, that was used to be just, or currently is, basic rule, that would become a maximum speed. And so I urge, and I appreciate the support of the subcommittee.
Thanks, Senator. Any questions?
Maybe, sure.
Fellow co-chair.
I want to thank Senator Miller for his work on this bill and indicate to the members that I'm going to support this bill because the governor has indicated his eagerness to sign this bill. And I want to support my governor.
Mr. Chair.
Sure. Senator Trowell.
I want to support my governor on most issues, but I'm a no on this.
The governor's yes? Well, another no.
Yeah, but you didn't have the bill.
Senator Duncan.
Right in, sitting the wrong bill.
Okay. Driving between here and Portland,
mm-hmm.
It's posted 70.
Right.
All right. What happens if you drive 73?
Under a maximum speed, you can be ticketed for anything that exceeds the posted number. And the only issue, if you should contest it, would be whether or not you exceeded that number, even though you may have been performing in a reasonable manner. That's no excuse. Under basic rule, which would be the law on the other highways, if you were exceeding the number, you could still be cited, but it's a rebuttable presumption that your behavior was unreasonable, and you can try to convince a judge that your behavior was reasonable, and therefore the ticket could be dismissed in those other circumstances.
Okay, I guess what you're saying, the thing I've been worried about, is raising, Mr. Chair, if you raise the speed limit between here, right now, everyone is driving 73 plus, 73. And within the basic, well, I'm...
Are you in there?
I saw you in the back of a car last night.
I was with Senator Hartung, and that you go faster then, but...
only in the 55 miles.
And trying to get away.
I want to note that Senator Hartung was...
But anyhow, my question is this going to raise this... you're saying it will not raise the speed between here and Portland, technically.
Mr. Co-Chair and Senator Duncan, what I'm suggesting is that law enforcement would have the ability to cite anyone who was driving over the posted number, and to the extent that they could prove that that person exceeded that number, then a citation would be upheld in court. Because the issue is not, again, whether or not your behavior was reasonable. It was whether or not you exceeded the number on the interstate freeways.
Okay. One more question. What are we with the maximum number of officers? Where are we? We're adding... What's happening with the number of officers?
If I can respond to that, there's no connection to increasing the speed and additional officers, at least in the mind of the sponsor of this bill. Because
I wanted to go beyond the mind of the sponsor.
Well, if that's, and remember this, Senator Duncan, this bill simply allows, and I should have stated this in the opening, allows the Department of Transportation to adjust the speed after they've had hearings to determine whether or not it is safe and reasonable to do so. Among the things they may choose to consider would be the component of law enforcement. They will also consider traffic safety studies, traffic engineering reports. They will have comments from local jurisdictions where these highways traverse through. And if people are not comfortable increasing the speed, there is no necessity to do so. Conversely, if they determine that the speed that is now posted ought to be lowered, they would have that authority.
Sure, you
it was a meager bill to start with, and now it's really wimpy.
Mr. Chair, you're right. He's done a lot of work on this bill.
Is it a revenue-raising bill?
we should let the committee, as well as those in attendance listening, know we have added 15 additional road troopers with the Highway Patrol system, or state system. My question to the Senator is, does the interstate system now have the presumption of basic rule, and that would be removed?
Mr. Co-Chair, the current system actually on the interstates is a dual system of enforcement. You have a maximum speed that is the posted number, and if you exceed that even today, you could be cited successfully if they chose to enforce that number. There's also the basic rule, which is you need to drive reasonable in whatever the circumstances. You can't drive 65 on I-5 in an ice storm and expect to have some jurist say that we're driving reasonably. You're not. So the basic rule is still in effect.
So you could,
but the maximum is the important tool for law enforcement. If they choose to say 70 is as fast as you're going to get, they can pick you off at 71, 72, and unless you can contest their radar or their detection, whatever it was, you're toast.
Question. Did you discuss whether there would be an anticipated increase in revenue?
Mr. Botwinis is here. He can talk about enforcement procedures, but I don't think we did.
Any other questions? Any other, Senator Duke?
Not a question, Mr. Chair. I keep thinking that one of these years we're going to come up with one of these, or the sponsor will that I can support, and I thought I was going to be there this year, but I can't get to 70 miles an hour for trucks and passenger buses. That just seems...
That is not in the bill.
No, it's not.
Well, it's right there in the staff measure summary.
That's not the dash
four. That's not the... Well, why did they give it to me then? Ah! I'll be darned.
Okay, any other discussion? Any other questions? Mm-hmm. objections to moving Senate Bill 502 to the Senate floor with due pass recommendation?
I'm a no.
Let the record show Senator Crow and Senator Yee are no. Seeing no other objections, Senate Bill 502 is moved to Senate floor with due pass recommendation. By the way, for those of you who are wondering why I am wearing these ridiculous glasses,
I really wanted to get that down.
Jeff Gilmore gave these to me and stole my regular glasses. So I apologize to the committee. I apologize to those of you. Not my normal sartorial decorum. House Bill 2560, Senator Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair, and I think those glasses look quite cute on you. House Bill 25.
That's a sexy Senator Brown.
House Bill 2560 allows a court to order suspension driving privileges for persons under the age of 21 if they fail to appear in court on a charge of minor in possession of alcohol. The bill will ensure that minors appear in court when they are charged with this offense, since they know they could lose their driving privileges if they do not appear. There's a minimal fiscal impact to the Judicial Department, which will be absorbed within the adopted budget. Your Capital Construction Lottery and Bonding Subcommittee recommends approval of this House bill. I'd like to thank Representative Butler, who is not here, for his hard work. This has been an issue some of us have been working on for many years now. Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair.
And I think if Representative Butler was here, he would thank you for your diligent efforts in trying to get this passed as well, saying, good job. This is an important bill. This is a good bill. Any questions? Any discussion? Any objections to moving House Bill 2560 as amended to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation? Seeing none, so ordered. House Bill 2664, Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. House Bill 2664 came to Ways and Means from the House Judiciary Committee. The bill was substantially amended in Ways and Means at the request of its sponsor with the approval of the Chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee. The bill was also fiscally amended based on the co-chair's budget plan. House Bill 2664, as amended, expands the number of convicted felons that will be required to provide blood or buccal samples. Estimates indicate that passage will result in the collection of over 31,000 samples from existing convicted felons currently under supervision and the collection of another 15,000 samples annually for newly convicted felons. The bill requires the samples to be submitted to the Oregon State Police for analysis and inclusion in the DNA database as available funds permit. The bill provides a priority order for analysis in recognition that funding may not allow all samples to be analyzed. This database information is expected to be a significant aid in felony investigations and prosecutions. The Ways and Means Subcommittee amended the bill to immediately appropriate $200,000 to the state police to begin the sample collection and analysis process. The subcommittee also approved amendments that appropriates $200,000 to the emergency board. In order for the state police to assess the emergency funds, it is required to provide a report to the emergency board. The report will describe progress made in collecting and analyzing DNA samples, the availability of federal grant funds, and ways technology can be used to cost-effectively increase the number of samples that can be analyzed. The subcommittee recommends your approval of House Bill 2664 as amended.
Thank you, Representative. Any questions? Discussion? Any objections to moving House Bill 2664 as amended to the House floor with due pass recommendation? Seeing none, so ordered. That's another good one. House Bill 2801, Representative Petrie.
Thank you, Co-Chair Gilmore. I mean, Westland. It's over $1 billion in uncollected child support in the state. House Bill 2801 is intended to enhance the collection of child support payments in certain cases. The bill allows an obligee to enter into an agreement with a collection agency and requires the Department of Justice to disperse child support payments to the collection agency when the obligee has authorized such a disbursement. The bill also authorizes the collection agency to charge interest or a fee for its services. However, a charge may not exceed 20% of each support payment received. The subcommittee reviewed the fiscal impact of the bill, adopted amendments submitted by the sponsor of the bill and that eliminated the fiscal impact, and recommended approval of this bill.
Yeah.
Thank you, Representative. Any questions for discussion regarding this support enforcement bill? Any objections? Seeing none, House Bill 2801, as amended, is moved to the floor of the House with a due pass recommendation. So ordered. House Bill 3035, Representative Patridge.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. House Bill 3035 creates a crime of an unlawful application of a controlled substance. It makes it illegal to intentionally apply a controlled substance by injection, ingestion, or inhalation to a person under 18 years of age by an adult. The severity of the crime is dependent upon the type of substance being applied. When this measure is fully phased in, it is expected to result in 5 offenders per year receiving longer probation sentence, 2 offenders per year receiving a 20-month addition to their prison sentence, and 1 offender per year receiving a new 45-month prison sentence. Your Capital Construction, Lottery, and Bonding Subcommittee reviewed the minimal fiscal impact on the bill and concluded no additional appropriation was necessary. Colleagues, in my years as a prosecutor, I had 2 cases come through my office that resulted in substantial effects to these kids, to an adult applying an illegal substance by injection to kids. One of the kids died. The other kid didn't get much of a sentence. This is an enhanced penalty. And on behalf of the family that asked this bill be brought forward, I'd ask for your approval.
Thank you, Representative. Any questions? Any further discussion? Any objections to moving House Bill 3035 as amended to the floor of the House for the due pass recommendation? Seeing none, so ordered. House Bill 3444, Representative Patridge.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. House Bill 3444 establishes the At-Home Infant Child Care Program. This program is based upon a Minnesota model. The program would help eligible families to cover the cost
of staying at home and caring for an infant by providing a subsidy in lieu of other TANF assistance. This program was administered by the Department of Human Services and would be funded with federal child care dollars. The program would only be implemented if an appropriate federal waiver was received and adequate funding was available, which we believe may happen. The subcommittee adopted the Dash 3 amendments, which make several changes to the bill, including making the program a pilot, capping participation, and clarifying the eligibility. These changes effectively eliminate the fiscal impact of the bill. The Capital Construction Lottering Bonding Subcommittee recommends your approval.
Thank you, Representative. Any questions? Senator Dukes?
I'm not reading fast enough here. I recall something last session, and I guess I'm curious, the term families and what that means. Can this be used by a single parent?
I believe it could be used by a single parent, but what it does is they'd have to waive the TANF assistance that they currently get, and they'd only get the child care dollars that they would, the child care dollars that they would normally get for child infant care. So consequently, it probably wouldn't be used very often by a single parent.
Okay. Senator Dukes looks like she has another one right on the tip of her tongue.
Well, and I guess I'm just not familiar enough with the program that this is playing into. The one we ran into last time had the state government providing funds for two-parent families when one parent stayed home, and which to me was discriminatory. And if this only deals with people who are already receiving state funds, that's a whole other discussion and issue. If it's providing additional new money, federal money if we get it or whatever, to folks who wouldn't necessarily be on state support, then I think maybe
this is based upon a Minnesota model. The Minnesota model, they fund child care, and what they've done is that those they've been able to stretch their child care dollars. If someone wants to stay at home, they relieve them from their public assistance dollars. It's for infant child care. It's only for infant child care to allow a parent to bond in the first 12 months.
And only for people who are on assistance?
Correct.
Thank you.
Senator Miller.
The phrase was used in the bill. The program begins when adequate funds are received. What's that mean?
The department would kick it into place if the waiver was received and there was adequate funding to even start a program. They're not going to start into the eligibility if they only get a little bit of money, is what my reading.
We don't have, I mean, is there a sense as to what is adequate?
I haven't had any discussion with the department as to what is adequate or inadequate.
But my understanding of the bill is there is a trigger that has to occur and that the waiver has to be granted before.
We have to get federal waivers in order to do this.
Any further questions? Discussions?
Enough.
Any objections to moving House Bill 3444 as amended to the floor of the House with a due pass recommendation? Seeing none? So ordered. Last bill of the day. Mike, do you have a rough idea what our schedule is going to be tomorrow?
I don't know that we have times posted yet, but we'll be focusing on the Human Services Subcommittee and the Capital Construction Lottery Bonding Subcommittees with, again, a potential late afternoon committee meeting.
Other announcements? Senator Hartung?
There will not be an Education Subcommittee tomorrow, Brady.
Yeah.
Representative Morgan?
There will be a Natural Resources Subcommittee, but we haven't figured out what time yet.
Human Resources.
We don't have a time yet for that sub. I will speak with staff because I understand that there's some other meetings early in the morning, and since the good Senator Hartung is not meeting at 10, perhaps we can meet at 10.
We have Senate floor session at 10 tomorrow.
Well, we will get a notice to you at the time of the Human Services meeting.
Good.
And the Capital Construction Water and Bonding Subcommittee to be meeting earlier or later than our standard time, which is, who knows? Anyway, so, obviously that time of session when things are pretty much in flux. Senator Brown?
Any sense of when the full will meet tomorrow?
Well, I was really trying to get at, we might not have one.
My expectation would be it would probably be a little earlier than tonight, if we have sufficient bills to make one, and we'll be able to make that call about midday.
But so the senators can plan their, weekend. It's our current expectation that we will not have a full on Saturday or Sunday or a special sub. We, however, may have a different agenda. Yeah, about time we got to work. Any other announcements other than that? I hereby challenge Senator Corno to race to our dinner appointment, for which we are 10 minutes late.
That's in our car. Can we go 70 miles an hour?
The loser has to wear those glasses.
Okay.